This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Audio courtesy of FanDuel Sports. We'll get to Russell Wilson here in a moment. He ain't going nowhere except for New York, and it don't mean nothing to the Browns, but we'll get to our reasonings behind that coming up here in just a moment. Tone, Cavs won.
Yes, it
did. Back-to-back wins after a four-game losing streak.
Huge,
all's well again.
Huge way to end the streak, especially considering Donovan didn't play last night. Darius was Mr. Clutch again, got some of his shooting back, had the floater working yesterday. Ty Jerome might have been the best guard in the game, which was nice off the bat. I have to respond to something.
Please do.
I heard the promo, and I got to tell you.
Yes, you did.
I love this. A lot of the afternoon show talks a lot about vibes. Which I don't know. Me and you don't really talk vibes as much as the afternoon show does. So I can't tap into that the way that the afternoon show can certainly channel. So it's something we're working on as a show.
We're working on channeling vibes?
Yeah. I feel bad. We don't really talk about vibes as much as maybe we should.
We had a guy come in, taught us how to channel vibes.
Was he the vibe consultant?
Yes.
But maybe I've missed this and I don't know. I remember the afternoon show was big on hiring, what was it, Barrejo? What's his name?
J.J. Barrejo.
J.J.?
Is that what it is?
It was something.
James. J.J. Barreja.
James.
I think.
James Barrejo. That's it. James Barrejo, yeah.
And so Nick was mad in the offseason that they didn't hire the guy that he had covered in Charlotte, right? So instead.
I don't know if he was mad. Was he mad?
Yeah. He talked about. He made it sound like Gilbert came in and Kobe had his guy. Then Gilbert came in and said, no, I want this guy. Which
I didn't see any
reported. Maybe Nick had some intel on that nobody else had. But obviously, when Kenny Atkinson has been this good, I don't think anybody could complain about the job that Kenny Atkinson has done. He's probably going to win Coach of the Year. Yeah. Bickerstaff's closing in on him.
They have now officially eclipsed the 2015-16 Cleveland Cavaliers in terms of wins for a season.
And they got to go, 9-1 in their last 10 to set the franchise record.
Yes.
So it's a nice way to close many times last game of a road trip, especially if you're not playing Donovan, playing your best player.
Comes poop.
You could be susceptible to losing. And, last night there were some precarious moments, but I think Darius finding his game, especially like he did in the fourth quarter, was huge. But Nick said something in that promo that we ran right before the show started.
All right.
It's interesting that every time the Cavs have been met with force, it's immediately spun the Cavs out of rhythm. The only thing I'm pretty sure about is the guy who I know is going to be consistent in the playoffs is going to be Kenny Atkinson.
I thought to myself, man, that is some. I love the confidence. I love the confidence in the head coach who's only been a head coach in one playoff series, has one career playoff win. So, I appreciate the hell out of Nick having that confidence in his coach being consistent in the playoffs, considering he has like no playoff experience as a head coach. So I want to channel those vibes, Kenny. Can you meet me here on a vibe check for an inexperienced playoff coach?
Put the paper down. No. It's time to do a vibe check.
No. Yeah. No.
Let's go.
Give me the vibe check. Thumbs up or down for the cameras? Because hey, the people on radio can't hear you.
Thumbs up.
Okay, good.
We all think he's a great coach.
We don't know anything about the playoffs, but we know he's a very
he was an assistant. He was an assistant during playoff runs. He won a championship
as an assistant.
He's by osmosis.
Yes,
it's been there. Yeah, you're close enough to anything.
In fact, we went over yesterday. You know where some of his experience was as an assistant head coach. Mm. On the humiliated Atlanta Hawks team that the Cavs humiliated, that this Cavs team has been compared to.
Oh my gosh.
So I hope those aren't the. I hope I that's not the consistency that. Nick's talking about. I hope it's the Golden State Warrior consistency.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Mm-kay.
But anywho, it was nice. It was nice that the Cavs were able to close that, because had they have lost. Have they had lost like the last two? Remember, they had a bad first half against Utah. And again, Portland had actually had a nice little stretch here, but they're not going to make the play-in. They're going to be the outside looking in. They took like 55 threes last night.
Yeah, they did.
And couldn't hit anything.
They got their money.
So that was like Cavs finally found their three-point shot again. And it's nice when you play a team and you're hot and they are ice cold. It was a surprise they didn't. Man, I'll tell you what was surprising was how Portland was able to go right to the basket against us. So that interior defense, I know we've been giving up threes a lot, and last night was a little bit different, but I've seen teams go at us more, just overall, been more aggressive. I wonder if the book on the Cavs now that all the teams are following is just keep attacking, which you would think that would be the book on any team in the NBA, but we definitely seem more susceptible. We definitely have some defensive weaknesses that I was willing to chalk up to. Well, it's the end of the season.
Well,
it's
if we're
March.
So used to it, well, no, I can't say that. I mean, they did shoot 52 threes. Because I was for a second, I was going to say, well, yeah. If they're not going to hit them every single night, and the Cavs, it's not been a good March for them overall, shooting the three as a team.
Well, our defensive numbers have plummeted.
That as well. But if you're not going to hit them every night, then why wouldn't you just attack the lane? Can't you throw the ball to the block? And attack them then if they're not going to do it? Because if their perimeter defense is there waiting for a three, he throw it in. But at the same time, it's like, well, they did try 52 threes last night and only hit 17 of them. So I'm not necessarily sure about that. I do want to bring up something that, all jokes aside, something that we did enjoy. That was the question of whether or not Darius Garland, the revenge tour has to end with something meaningful in the playoffs. I think we can all agree. And yesterday, you know, I talked about it, and it was one of those things, again, at least once a week, I'm driving home like, man, I should have said that. I think yesterday we are looking for postseason answers during the regular season. We are trying to answer postseason questions while the regular season is going on. And because we can't really answer them, we can only prognosticate. It immediately goes back to our negative side of it. Not everybody. I think there's definitely some people who are very positive, and they should be positive about a 58-14 Cavs team. But the negative side always tends to be louder in these situations. And so when they lost four in a row, like when they lost to the Suns the other night, it was like, okay, is everything fine now, Ken? Is everything fine now? Like, they don't remember any of the good stuff. It's, is everything fine now? Okay. I can't say everything's fine after they lost to the Suns. There's something, but you know what? If I go back to it, isn't it always the same stuff we talk about in the postseason? Okay, are they going to shed the soft label? Is Darius going to be able to step up in the big moment? Is Donovan going to be able to lead the team the way he is? Going back to Darius, is Darius going to be able to be the Robin to the Batman of Donovan Mitchell? Is Evan Mobley going to be able to take the next step? I mean, these are things that we ask to each other in October, let alone now. So they're just the same questions. And I think we're a little bit frustrated because we can never truly answer them during the regular season. Win 16 games in a row, win 26 games in a row. I don't think it matters to a lot of fans out there. I think you're still going to be wondering because over the last couple of years. And I think that's maybe a little bit frustrating. Like, they win 16 games in a row, they lose one. And it's all, I've been saying this, like, no, you haven't. It's been all quiet on the Western Front. Now they won two in a row. Is it all going to be quieter? No, I think we're close enough to the postseason now where we kind of think, okay, these are just questions that they have to answer, and we'll see if they can answer them with some of these matchups that they have.
Yeah, I would say the only thing, because I'm not overreacting at all to a West Coast trip. It's been a 2-month steady diet of our backcourt just not shooting the ball well. So that's part of it too. Was it regression to the mean? Was it injury stuff? I mean, the groin with Donovan is something to keep an eye on now, right? I mean, if his groin, you don't want him limping into the playoffs, because that's kind of what we had last year. He still had some unbelievable performances, but it also held you back. I mean, it's part of the reason you went to 7 games with an undermanned, inexperienced Orlando team. So you factor that in. The thing that was weird to me was the Clippers and those Suns games. You got the best out of the Suns and the Clippers. Those games had their fans thinking, oh, those are the teams we're supposed to be. And I said this, that if you kind of parachuted in to those games, and you hadn't seen anything all year, you'd been in a coma, you'd be like, oh, yeah, the Clippers with Kawhi, and that's vintage Kevin Durant. Like, they're just better. They have better players, which has not been the case at all this year.
Yeah, it's true.
The Cavs have been the better team. They've had the better players. You know, Donovan, until recently, has been a lock for all NBA first team. Now that's starting to be in question. Darius, I thought, was a lock to be an all NBA player, and you know, his numbers have dropped off a cliff. His efficiency dropped off a cliff. So I don't know. Evan Mobley, once Wemby went down, because it was going to be Wemby winning Defensive Player of the Year. Now you're noticing some pundits are like attacking Evan Mobley as if he's not an elite defender.
I disagree with that. But
yeah, it's strange. I do think more guys are attacking him, like on closeouts and beating him off the dribble. You see more of that, but you know, it's in the playoffs. Like I'm betting on Evan Mobley to be able to hold his ground defensively. I have no reason to think otherwise. So all of that together, that was the only thing about this West Coast trip that bothered me. And DeMar DeRozan got off too. I don't think Darius played in that game. But other than that, like I got to tell you, that was the only thing that surprised me, was I don't expect at this stage, like the Suns have been downtrodden all year. And you want to talk about a vibe check. They have had bad body language.
Very bad vibes.
It seemed all year they wanted their coach fired. And yet in those games, like tit for tat, like those teams just look better than us. Yeah. Which is just unexpected.
So I think that, you know, we've done the pressured conversation to death. I think some people aren't going to like this, and this is very big picture, and I think what you're breaking down is good. This is going to be seen as soft, but fine. You want to talk about my vibes here. When you bring up Evan Mobley, and I think, okay, what are my realistic goals? As good as this season has been, I don't find it to be a waste of a regular season if you go up and lose in 6 games against the Boston Celtics. If it looks good, if it's a tough played series, if you lose in 6 to the Boston Celtics, I don't think it's a wasted year. I think if you lose in 6 to the Boston Celtics or lose in 7 to the Celtics, I think that these are things that I can accept. And I can hope that Evan continues to take strides. I don't want to freak out, but I think that people will. And they'll decide to make moves with the core four. The people want to make moves with the core four. I'm not sold that the Cavs would actually do that. But I think that we have to be realistic about this in certain ways, because I am not. I think that's part of it. I'm not freaking out, because I know you're going to be going into that series as the underdog. I mean, that has to be knocked down. They expect you to not win that series. Now, it's not a 4-game sweep, but they expect you to not win that series. So that being in my head, knowing that that's what Vegas already is going to put out there, and that's what's going to happen. If they win the series, it's a great underdog. It's a great win. You're a great team. You beat a great team that's a defending champion. That's all wonderful. But I can't allow myself to freak out, and I'm afraid that's what's going to happen if they were to lose in 6 or 7 to the Boston Celtics. I'm trying to be pragmatic about this, because there has been a long time or I was ready to freak out. A lot of other people were too. After that Knicks series 2 years ago, it was embarrassing. We were wondering about Kobe Altman. We were wondering about Mike Gansey and everybody else. And they have been very, very judicious here. And this has been piece by piece. I know they made one big move. That's a huge move. But a lot of other things, boy, it has been something that we've had to be patient for. It's not Danny Ainge patience, but damn, we've had to be patient. So I'm just being honest and pragmatic about this. I want them to win. I think they can win that series. But if they make it to that series and things don't go our way in six or seven, you're not getting me freaking out yelling at Kenny Atkinson and Kobe Altman and these four guys in the core four. It ain't going to happen.
No, and that's why you're paying attention to just what's going on. Because it's not just about this year. Obviously, you expect the Cavs to be really good next year, and you're paying attention to the new ownership in Boston. Are they going to be able to keep everybody? Horford's going to be up for a new contract. I think Holiday is somebody. People wonder if it's going to be back there. So the Cavs could potentially just wait out the Celtics' demise, unless, of course, they go and get Kevin Durant, which has been a rumor over the last 24 hours.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
That's another victory for the Wine and Gold last night, 122-111 for the Cavaliers over the Portland Trail Blazers to cap off.
Are you doing it on purpose? You're doing it on purpose.
Doing what?
That was extra.
That was really
public address announcer voice
over the microphone.
I don't know what you're talking about there.
I don't know. See, talk like that
from the diaphragm.
Talk like that.
I don't know what audition I'm talking about that we might get to later on in the show.
We'll figure that out. It's up in the air right now for us three whether or not we're going to go over that audition.
What's not up in the air right now is the Cavs mark 57-14, a victory for them last night over Portland to cap off the road trip.
Got to win 58 of them.
Well, he hadn't talked about the victory yet. Now he's going to add the victory.
Okay, now we add it together. Boom.
One of the things that was big in the victory was the Cavalier defense down the stretch. They did not give up a basket in the final 7 minutes against the Blazers. That wasn't a free throw. And head coach Kenny Atkinson talking after the game about what the Cavaliers are working on going into the playoffs.
We've been really emphasizing the possession game and winning the rebounding battle, winning the turnover battle. Been a focus for us, and we've been doing a pretty good job. We know the playoffs a lot of times with teams that are very even. It comes down to, you know, who's going to win the possession game. So that's been a big emphasis.
I think it's good that that we can come home and they salvage two of these games at the end, because it would have been full out panic mode by many had they dropped these last two, especially against Utah.
When they lost,
trying to lose.
When they lost the must win, I was happy it happened on the weekend, because I went, "That's the internet's problem. I don't need to answer these questions yet. Not until Tuesday." That's what I was thinking. Then they won on Sunday, and that was nice. Got that taken care of.
I keep going back to that Saturday practice they had, or the lack of practice they would have had. And if they'd have lost that game, it would have been. That would have been a rough Monday to go into, that one they had against Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
How many teams actually have a real practice right before they play Utah? Who's been getting in trouble with the NBA
What are we talking about?
Their tanking methods this year?
What are we talking about practice?
Actual practice.
I don't think it's like the Dream Team 92 tape that they found in the gym, but it's... you might get after it a little bit after the type of road trip that you've had. Especially because you go to L.A., get that L.A. flu there.
It's classic Cavs, though. Go to the West Coast and do something that's a little out of the ordinary. Remember the bowling. They were big on
and the trip
bowling.
It's two
and
things.
And then they won a title. So,
they get weird.
Is the new bowling.
Yeah, they get weird when they go out there.
Well, nevertheless, the Cavaliers coming back with two straight victories to play San Antonio on Thursday. Speaking of Coach Atkinson, Carlos Boozer yesterday on ESPN's First Take had a bit of a pushback on the claims of Kenny Atkinson winning Coach of the Year. Not that he shouldn't be given credit for this season, but another coach down in Houston has been doing some great work.
Ayu Doka is the Coach of the Year. Nobody's talking about that. Everybody wants to talk about Cleveland. He was gifted a team that already had All-Stars on it. I would take Bickerstaff in Detroit because nobody expected Detroit to be in the top seven, top eight in the Eastern Conference. But the Houston Rockets started from scratch during the second seed.
Credit where it's due. What audio is that courtesy of again?
ESPN's First Take.
And that is fantastic heel work by him, because he knows that we're going to...
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Play that in Cleveland. He knew that dead ass on. So I'm not lying to you. I guarantee they asked him, "Hey, who's the coach of the year? Can you make an argument against Kenny Atkinson?" Hell yeah, I can make an argument against Kenny Atkinson. Look at what Ime Udoka is doing down there in Houston. Hell, I can name J.B. Bickerstaff. J.B. Bickerstaff used to be the coach of the Cavaliers. Say it. He knows the people in Cleveland hate him. I'm dead serious about this. If he knows it and he doesn't care, I say incendiary things all the time to make people in Pittsburgh hate me that I don't even know if it means, but if it bothers them, I'm going to say it. Go ahead and do it.
I do have a number. I do have a stat here for you guys that might give it some credence. At this point, at this date last year, March 26, 2023, the Rockets lost to the Cavaliers 108-91. Ooh. The Rockets were 18-57 at the time. They are now 47-26 and the number 2 seed in the West.
Yeah, fine job. It's the how do you measure Coach of the Year? What even is the Coach of the Year? How do we it's almost like the same thing happens in the NFL now with Comeback Player of the Year. Well, nobody wanted to define it until last year. Like, well, if you die on a football field and come back, are you the comeback player of the year, or is it somebody who actually had a bad year, totally changed their entire career around?
He didn't win it that year.
No, Flacco won.
Yeah, it came off the couch.
Oh, that's right.
They had like 4 award wins that year.
Oh, that was more recent than I thought.
Yeah.
So, coach of the year, is it taking a team that how many wins did you said Houston at this point at 18? How many did Detroit have last year? Detroit won again last night. Detroit, I'll tell you, with Milwaukee's Dame Lillard situation, and he's got a blood clot in his calf. I mean, Detroit now, we are talking about a team that is going to be playing us in the second round if they can get in that 4 or 5 and actually win.
Detroit oh, my
won
goodness.
14 last year.
They were 12-60 at this time last year.
Yeah, so by the definition, it's been an unbelievable turnaround. The Cavs were good last year, just had injuries too.
I've always kind of given the turnaround the benefit of the doubt. So
normally it is.
I don't want to disagree with Carlos Boozer, but I have to because it's Carlos Boozer. It's the messenger here. I'm sorry.
Do people really care if Atkinson wins Coach of the Year?
No.
I know it's a nice thing on the message boards. Like, no. Yeah, our guy won, and it's sort of. It's going to be perceived as that validates the hire, but really the playoffs are going to validate the hire.
Haven't had playoff runs, but we've been to the playoffs now.
Yep.
Technically,
we're 3 years. We're in a city where Coach of the Year right now is kind of a tricky subject.
Well, it gets used against Stefanski now, and it got used against Mike Brown.
Yes.
Hopefully, it won't be used against Stephen Vogt.
Speaking of daytime sports talk shows, we go from ESPN to Fox Sports 1, where yesterday Nick Wright talking about something that Lima touched on in the opening segment, the possibility of the Boston Celtics, reigning NBA champions, having to add another all-star to their roster. Good God.
Brian Windhorst, and I'm not putting my fingers up, but I will say two totally unrelated people, both of whom have reputations for knowing things that other people don't know, have said to me, watch out for Durant in Boston. I don't know even the pieces that it would work, and it feels a lot like what Durant got killed for with Golden State.
I don't know who they're going to trade him for. What are you going to trade him for?
Well, they do have the pieces. I mean, if they want to break up.
Why would you want to break it up, I should say?
So, I think that they, if you consider that they're already in the second apron, they've got these new owners, they've got a slew of contracts, and if they were thinking that they're going to lose either Al Horford, Holiday at the end of the year, you know, part of their strength is that they have so many guys that can defend, can score, have playoff success. If you erode some of that because of your salary restrictions over time, then you need to go get another superstar.
He's got to cut. I haven't seen Nick Wright lately. Did he cut the hair?
No, I don't think so.
He looks like he's got to do that, man. He's looking like Tom Hanks in the Da Vinci Code. It's got to go. It's weirding me out.
He's had like 4 different looks on the air.
I like Nick. I hear the guy.
Me out, man.
I like Nick. It's like, man, it throws me off. Throws me off.
What would the legacy of Kevin Durant be like if he had to come into another just juggernaut of a team after the Cavaliers beat that team?
I will say it depends, though. It depends because does he come in and save them the way he saved Golden State in those playoff games? Because he went toe-to-toe with LeBron. Remember, he was hitting the clutch shots. And he was the one defending LeBron with the game on the line. And so he's still people have forgotten how good Kevin Durant is again. And if he's in the finals and he's hitting big shots.
I did.
Like, does that helps him as a big game guy?
Understood. I forgot how good he is. I forgot it because now it just seems like he's some journeyman. Like, what he said with Vince Carter was true. It was nasty, but what he said was true. Or no, it was Gary Payton. What he said to Gary Payton was true. Nasty, but true. And I'm going, man, he really is a fantastic player. But you hear what I'm saying? Like, what would you trade for Kevin Durant? He has gotten older, and I'm thinking, man, what a journeyman. It was supposed to go that way. It was supposed to be easier when LeBron left, and we just flipped any anger we ever had on LeBron to Kevin Durant. We were madder as a country.
I still maintain that 2017 team was the best Cavs team that I've ever seen in my lifetime. We would have won the championship almost any other year.
We were so much madder as a country that he joined them. Yeah. Maybe it's because you weren't in a rivalry with the Heat. It felt like Oklahoma City was in a pseudo-rivalry with Golden State to try to get over. Even though Houston was good at the time with Chris Paul, I'm trying.
But, you know, he's going to be 37 next year. He has been on a tear lately, and that game against the Cavs, man, it was like clear. Like, oh yeah, when he wants to, he's still a dominant player. Like, he was easily the best player on the floor against us.
All right, Jets, finally, we are just about less than 36 hours away from the start of the Major League Baseball season here in Cleveland as the Guardians wrapped up spring training play yesterday. Some of the highlights, comments, Zardo going yard. We had Luis Ortiz working some innings, and Tristan McKenzie working out of the bullpen for the first time officially since it was announced he'd be starting the bullpen this year. McKenzie, after yesterday's game, talking about his approach.
I mean, I think the goal for me is literally continuing the work that we've been doing, even in our starts, but having to be more of a specific, concentrated focus.
I hope he can concentrate and focus and get it going in the bullpen. I am very worried about that young man.
I am too. Maybe now pressure's off for him for a little bit, so maybe he can gather himself. I'll tell you, I like, is that the fourth home run for Manzardo?
It is.
So I love that. I love seeing that. I know it's only spring training, but it's nice to get that kind of pop.
What was Tristan's problem, though, last year? Mitch, I bet you could tell me. At the beginning of games, what would he do?
I mean, he would have a lot of struggle with control, for sure.
Well, he would give up taters at the beginning of the game. So if you're going to have him in for two innings in long relief, but if he comes in and he just gives up taters, that's not going to help him.
He's always been a tater-giver-upper.
He has always been a tater-giver-upper, but it was always in like the top of the first. Like, there's a solo bomb from the second hitter, and hopefully we'll settle down.
He was getting behind in counts and then grooving balls down the middle, and that's horrible.
The crazy thing is his velocity is the best it's ever been. It's like at 95, but it doesn't mean a whole lot if you have no precision.
Middle, you're done.
Yeah.
And that's it for about last night.
Outstanding. Made us think. He did make us think. Good God, said Mitch Spinell. All right, Justin Termini, 7 o'clock. We got to get cooking. Would you trade up for Cam Ward? 216-474-0092. Would you trade up for him, Tone? Adam Schefter says there's a possibility that the Tennessee Titans are willing to listen. They are expected to listen to offers for the number one overall pick. It now would take an even stronger package to acquire the draft's top selection. At this workout, Miami QB Cam Ward will go through a private throwing session for the Titans when he works out later on for them. But the number one pick, technically, up for grabs.
Yeah, what'd you make of that the 24 hours prior was, oh my God, they are so all in on Cam Ward. And then a day later, it's like, oh, they're even more all in on him. It's going to take a crazy offer. Like, well, no. I mean, if you're all in, if you're 100% all in, there's no offer when your team needs a quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? There's no even Godfather offer that would sway you if you thought he truly was.
So is he up for grabs or is he not up for grabs?
Yeah, I think he absolutely is
up for grabs. If he's
up for grabs,
what are you trading for?
Okay, so someone's got to help me. Mitch, didn't you send the chart?
Oh, and was that a real thing you texted yesterday?
Yeah, so I'm looking at a chart right now. I've got a chart in front of me. So it's 400 points to move up from 2-1.
All right.
Number one's worth 3,000. Number two's worth 2,600. You're not going to... Pick 33 is worth 580. You're not trading that one, right? You can't trade one and two.
I mean, they can ask for
one
it.
Spot. They trade 3 ones for Deshaun Watson.
Now, yeah, it's moving one spot, though, as opposed to getting the quarterback of the future, right?
Fair enough.
For sure.
Yep.
The way that I'm trying to value it out would be giving up 67, which is worth 255. And I think I had a third and a fourth, but you have 2/3, so 67 and 94. That'll get you roughly to the 3,000 value point. So it's a first and 2/3.
Now, I have, Kenny, you correct me if I'm wrong, if you're on the same page with me. I have had Cam Ward as the better prospect. Me, the Lima scout from home watching on YouTube. I have had Cam Ward be the better prospect. And it seems like most everybody except for Bucky Brooks.
Yeah.
And was it Mel Kiper?
Mel Kiper says he's going to be the best one in the draft, but
did
somehow
he changes mind.
Nobody
he
has Browns take Abdul Carter,
yeah. Right?
Are we doing?
I mean,
here?
I guess unless he thinks both quarterbacks are really this is such a down
he
year.
He said the best quarterback in the draft is Shedeur Sanders, and the Browns definitely need a quarterback. Draft Abdul Carter.
If you
definitely need a quarterback and you tell me to draft Abdul Carter, then the next sentence out of your mouth should say, he's the best quarterback in the draft. The problem is all the quarterbacks in the draft suck. That should be the next sentence that you say.
Yeah, now if you thought that the quarterbacks sucked, not like, yeah, I have them graded, you know, to the second round, whatever. No, sucked is different from I have a second round grade. If, sucked would be...
If you think they're all good, then...
Sucked would be like way below that,
but if
right?
you think they're all good, then take the quarterback, because there's always an easy way out. He could 5 years from now go, I said he was the best in the draft. I didn't say any of them were going to be good. Not that he needs an out. It's Mel Kiper. You hit, you miss. He's a legend. We don't need to go any further. But he could always just say, I said he was the best in the draft. I didn't say any of them were going to be good in the long run in the NFL. Now, I don't know what he said word for word. I'm just explaining that. Now, that seems like a backdoor. You kind of want to stand up for it. So that's why I'm just sitting there thinking, all right, we need a quarterback. All these other teams need quarterbacks here. You're at number two overall. You're telling me Shedeur Sanders is the best one in the draft. Then you tell me to take Abdul Carter. That don't make no sense, friend. It doesn't. But we've all kind of said that Cam Ward, in one way or the other, like a lot of us have just operated as if Cam Ward is not going to be available. So if Cam Ward is available, and you're telling me it's a second and or number two, excuse me, number two overall, number 67 overall, number 94 overall, then sure, make the trade.
Now, the problem is, what if they just simply say no, and they say, we don't care about your chart.
What else do I have to add? Yep, that's true. What else do I have to add?
And then it gets into how much do you really love Cam Ward? Because I don't love him. I don't love him to the extent that I'm willing to
1 in 33.
Yeah, I don't love him that much because, man, they need so much help regardless. And Cam Ward's not some flawless prospect.
He is not a flawless prospect.
I fully recognize flawless prospects also can be bad. You know, I make the argument Bo Nix was better than Trevor Lawrence last year. Well, but who was the flawless prospect,
that.
And the other one had a lot of limitations?
I don't need to make the argument. I think there was actually one that was better, but he was better taken care of, too. You need a quarterback. I could give you Abdul Carter all day long. My pass rush wasn't actually that bad overall by some of the advanced metrics that you see. I know that everybody thinks our defense sucks, but it wasn't as bad as what it's made out to be. Your offense sucked out loud. Your offense is arguably the worst that you've ever seen since 99. One of the top three worst offenses we've ever seen since 99 was last year's offense. So I need a jolt. I need to have a chance. This guy has a chance. Is he good enough? Like, yeah, if there were other things coming around, yeah, fine. But I can't guarantee that the other ones are coming around. We've stopped saying anything bad about Drew Aller or Garrett Nussmeier or anybody else because they're not coming out. So now they automatically look better. You will find bad things to say about those guys. We will just do this all over again next offseason. The only difference is if you don't take Cam Ward, if you don't make that trade, then the odds go up that you're going to lose the general manager. You'll let go of the general manager and the head coach.
Yeah.
So you'll have more faith in those guys.
Who is your starting quarterback in September if you don't do that?
This coming year?
Yeah.
Or your maybe guess even is as good as me. Ain't going to be Russell Wilson
is
now.
Is it Kenny Pickett?
Well, let's go to Albert Breer on this because he was on Afternoon Drive yesterday. Go right to number two there. Here's him on the Titans on their willingness to trade the number one pick. Albert Breer, hit it.
The Titans people have told me that they want to go through the whole process and really kind of have a complete view, not just of Cam Ward, but of Shedeur Sanders, Abdul Carter, and Travis Hunter. And they're not going to be done with that process until they get through with the private workouts, which they plan on doing private workouts with each of those guys. And, you know, Carter's pro day is Friday, I believe. Hunter and Sanders will be next week. So there's still some work to be done. And look, like, they don't have to move now. Like, they control everything. You know, so yeah, they're going to make a decision on whether or not to truly listen when they're through the process. But I would agree with like the assertion that it's become less and less likely that they're going to move the pick.
All right, less and less likely that they're going to move the pick. Then here's what Albert Breer says on what he thinks the Browns are going to do at this point.
My guess would be Abdul Carter. You know, I just think he's the cleanest projection of any player in the draft, like kind of like what your vision would be for him. I think he'd be an excellent fit for Jim Schwartz's defense, the attacking upfield style of that defense. You know, and then, you know, you've got your natural successor to Myles Garrett at a premium position. And for the time being, you've got a really, really difficult pair of edge rushers to handle if you're an offense. So if I had to guess right now, and this is just a guess, I'd say they take Abdul Carter and trade for Kirk Cousins over draft weekend. But again, like
I still haven't made all my phone calls. That's just a guess at this point.
Is that something you can do?
Well, here's what worries me, Kenny, is that now with the Wilson thing settled, you're left with Carson Wentz, or that's your only leverage in a potential deal for Kirk Cousins, which the Browns, according to reporting, and it makes sense if you connect the dots, that they would still want Kirk Cousins in these scenarios. So now you actually have to like trade, and I think you're in a disadvantageous position going with Atlanta and doing a deal once, you know, these guys are off the board.
Do you like Cam Ward or do you not like Cam Ward?
I like him. I don't love him. And there is a difference.
Okay.
There is a difference. Don't you think scouts kind of draw the line somewhere?
Obviously, but I think that there's a difference in our reality and their reality. Can you talk yourself into loving Cam Ward? Is it easier for you to tell yourself you love Cam Ward than it is Shedeur
Andrew
Sanders?
Andrew Berry was denied that opportunity, denied himself that opportunity to fall in love with him even more because he wasn't at the pro day.
Should have been madder about that than I was yesterday. Maybe I should bring that up again.
Was the private jet not in use?
I was going to ask you, if your job was on the line, would you take Cam Ward? But I think if your job was on the line, wouldn't you go to Cam Ward's pro day?
I feel like, again, you would do everything. You would use every resource you could. You'd spare no expense.
Guys, his draft history is fine. I mean, don't we trust him enough where he can... There's sarcasm. People can't see my face. There's sarcasm there. His trade history has been just fine. We don't have to worry about him going to a pro day. His drafts have been great. We don't have to worry about him going to a pro day for Cam Ward.